You're very welcome to the latest edition of Treaty Talk with myself, Jack Neville, and Matt O'Callaghan from the Weekly Observer and Vale Star. After a three-week break, Matt, we're back with hurling. We have a bumper weekend of fixtures to go through. Obviously, the standouts are the semi or quarterfinals in the Senior Hurling Championship. You also have quarterfinals in the intermediate. You have semi-finals in the Senior Camogie for Intermediate Hurling Championship. So we'll run through all the games. And obviously at the end, I'll have a look back at the football after 3 weeks of that. We'll have a break in the football. So I suppose the action kind of kicks off on Saturday evening in the Senior Hurling Championship with the meeting of Ballybrown and the Pearshig in the Gaelic Grounds. Obviously, Ballybrown were in Senior B this year, but were very, very impressive in their two games against Garry Shlan and Blackrock. And then you have the Pearshig, who the record in the last 10, 15 years speaks for itself. It'll be very tough for Ballybrown, but given their run of form this year, it should be a close contest.
Yeah, I suppose the first thing about it is it's a very ambitious program for the weekend, Jack. There are an awful lot of games on, even if you throw in a crucial fourth round of the Junior A hurling championship into the mix as well. Like, where hurling fans allowed the freedom to go to games this weekend, they certainly would be spoiled for choice. And probably would be, you know, 10 in the ground. There's such a variety of games on offer. But over the last couple of years, since the introduction of the Senior Hurling A and the Senior Hurling B, we have been trying to benchmark how successful the format has been when it comes to the quarterfinal stage and see if those have emerged from Section B have bridged the gap with those in Section A. I think Saturday evening's game will be the first. The answer to it to date is no. It hasn't bridged the gap because they have been one-sided quarterfinals. But I think we're going to have a quarterfinal if form is anything to go by on Saturday evening. That is going to buck the trend because I have been very, very impressed with Ballybrown. As you rightly say, I saw both of their games. They were huge winners over Blackrock, and you know the trouncing they handed out into Garry Shlan. It speaks for itself. I don't think there can be any arguing with it. And they've introduced a couple of new players, exciting new players. In Colm O'Neill, Colin Coughlin, Edna O'Connor, you know, all still minors as far as I know. Certainly Coughlin and O'Connor, they will be involved in the minor premier semi-finals on Wednesday night. So they look a formidable outfit, and they probably, since this new format was introduced about 3 years ago, they look the most competent and most capable of showing that the gap can be bridged. But of course, they're facing the Masters. They're facing, you know, as you rightly said, the narrative of the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship for the last decade has been mainly about the Pearshig. Like they're on a plane of their own, literally, and you know. If the Pearshig got their wake-up call, as far as they were concerned, in the very first round when they went down to Kilmarnock, and you know the way they bounced back in round two with that very, very comprehensive win over a hand, you know they were back on track once that happened. I think it's going to be a very exciting game. I think the Pearshig are going to win it. I think it will be very, very difficult for Ballybrown. This is a big, big step up. With all due respects to Blackrock and all due respects to Garry Shlan, and both of them are my neighbours here, the Pearshig is a huge step up for Ballybrown. And while Ballybrown have made demonstrable progress from last year, of course, the one thing about Ballybrown going back up is that they've had experience at A level before, because they were relegated at the end of 2018, the expectation was that they would come back up immediately, but it just didn't happen for them. It was a hand who came back up. I think they've gone away. They have regrouped. They've infiltrated a lot of new players into the side, as I've already said, and young players. I'm going for Benny Brown to give him a very, very, very stern test. But I honestly think at the end of the day, it would be Napiershik for the semi-final.
Yeah, look, Napiershik are obviously going to be huge favourites. But for a neutral, you want to see a good game after a few kind of blowouts in the quarterfinals. That game obviously is going to be live-streamed on Limerick GAA TV tomorrow night from 7. Then on Sunday in the Senior Championship, you have the quarterfinal in South Liberties and Doon at 1 o'clock in the Gaelic Grounds, another game that's live on Limerick GAA TV. Doon haven't won a game. South Liberties only won one, and we're fortunate, I suppose, with Maru Bohar beating Mona Lean. Doon's two draws, they were leading up to the very end of both of them, and they had 15 points to spare against South Liberties last year. It looks like it's going to be clear cut who comes through in that game, but can South Liberties cause an upset?
I think it's going to be very difficult for them, because they probably went away after the group stage of the mindset that they were probably out of the competition. Having lost to Mona Lean, all right, they came back and they beat Maru Bohar in the second round. But like the general expectation was going into the third round was that Mona Lean would finish the job and that they would beat Maru Bohar. But Maru Bohar threw up a surprise and threw South Liberties a lifeline. And I suppose that their unexpected quarterfinalists would be the best way to describe them. But they will take it. And of course, Jack, they're coming in. All right, they hadn't won a championship game since 2018 until they beat Maru Bohar, and that was because they were in Section A last year. They certainly found it very, very difficult. It was a very, very difficult campaign for them. 5 games, no win, and straight back down again. Now they've had the opportunity, you know, to regroup. Not a great length of time to regroup, in that we had the truncated version of our format of the championship this year, and it didn't give them, it just gave them those 2 games. And I suppose, they used a good piece of their part of their, you know, their look in getting to the quarterfinal. Doon were without a number of top players in the competition so far, and you were looking at Richie English, who was a huge loss. And we keep saying it. Stephen Ryan, Cathal McNamara, and they were without, I think, Cormac Ryan for the early rounds. But happily, he's back and playing. He played in the Premier Under 21 win over Patrickswell, so that's a relief from a Doon point of view. Having seen Doon, there were a lot of things I liked about Doon. Dara O'Donovan seems to have settled in at centre half back. Barry Murphy and Pat Ryan, and I know I'm looking at the big names here. Are two guys that certainly have put their injury woes far behind them now at this stage, and they took up leadership positions certainly, and took up leadership roles in the games against Adair and Patrickswell. And like, you know, Doon, we could be talking about Doon here having 2 wins rather than 2 draws, because they were the unlucky side. And they'll be buoyed up, of course, by winning the County Premier Under 21 Championship for the second time. And there's a lot of good players coming through in that, the like of Jack Ryan, who's already in the senior team. Chris Thomas is there or thereabouts. Mikey O'Brien, who was absolutely outstanding in the Under 21 County Final. So there's a lot going for Doon, and you're right, I agree with you. It's very, very hard to see South Liberties upsetting the odds. I'm going for Doon to win that one.
Yeah, and just on that, if we'll say the favourites come true, Doon and Napiershik, it'll be 4 years in a row that it's Doon, Napiershik, Kilmallock, Patrickswell. Is that a worrying trend?
I think it is. And I think it is, and this is not our first time reflecting on that. We were saying the same thing this time 12 months, that they seem to have, you know, moved on to a different plane. But I would be hopeful. I would be hopeful, of course, that a lot of clubs would close the gap. But I think looking at it this year, that the clubs that appear best placed to close the gap now, and this might sound a contradiction, are Adair and Ballybrown. I think both of those have shown measurable improvement. And I know Adair, you'll say to me, are embroiled in a relegation playoff, but I still think that Adair have improved considerably, and they're unlucky to be in the position that they're in, certainly Adair and Ballybrown have improved. So if the gap is to be closed, and if clubs are to get crash that top four, which we have seen consistently for the last 3 years, I think it's one or other or both of those that will do it.
Yeah, and not to take away credit from the top four teams, they've obviously put the effort in. It'd just be nice to see kind of more of a spread. But not all for the...
That would be another one that you could look at, and a great tradition in a hand. The one worry I would have about a hand would be the way they capitulated to Na Piercig in what was a vital game for both clubs. And all right, they went far behind against Kilmallock, very, very far behind, and then suddenly found form. But they have young players coming through, and they have an underage system which is very, very progressive, and which is getting there. But I think they're not as well placed as Ballybrown and Adair just yet, but they're probably going in the right direction to get crash that top four.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have more competition, maybe even this weekend, but certainly in the coming years. But also on Saturday, you have the County Cup final between Mona Lean and Blackrock. Probably looking for Blackrock's point of view at the start of the year. If you put them into a County Cup final, they probably would have taken it. Mona Lean, probably not so much. But it's still a chance at silverware in a senior competition for two sides that have gone a long time without silverware at that high level.
Yeah, that's correct. Silverware at senior level, of course. Blackrock won the Premier Intermediate last year, but I honestly think it's probably more important for Blackrock than it is for Mona Lean, for the simple reason that because of the outbreak of the pandemic and the change of the format, they have been robbed of the old system, which would have given them five games. And a team coming up, what they needed was games, chance to settle down and build and work on, you know, the shortcomings of the first game and move on to the second. They didn't get that opportunity. It was a crash course in the group stage. And like Blackrock, after 23 years out of senior ranks, on their return, have found senior hurling a very, very unforgiving place. But that said, Mona Lean, they looked poised for the quarterfinals until they were overturned. Dumped out by Maru Bohar. But I think a win is more important for Blackrock, that in their first year, apart from the silverware aspect of it, that they can go into year two saying, at least we won a senior hurling match. I think that is very, very important, because I have no doubt, had Blackrock the opportunity to play five games in the normal format of the championship, they would have broken that duck. They'd have got a win or two. I'd be quite satisfied that they would. And I thought that the new system probably militated against the team coming up more than it did against those that were already there. And I think this is going to be tight, but let's face it, Jack. The County Cup, and we've seen over the years, is a consolation prize, I suppose. And it's very, very hard to get it out of your head that it's only a reminder that you're out of the running for the big prizes. It'll be a competitive final. I think Blackrock, their need to get a win is probably the greater. And I think they'll just about do it.
Yeah, I think the motivation coming up to win a trophy probably is that bit stronger for BlackRock. But nonetheless, I know it's only a County Cup, but come Saturday evening, both teams will be raring to go, and we no doubt it'll be a close game. Also on Saturday, probably kicking off the weekend as a whole, you've the two Premier Intermediate hurling semi-finals at 3 o'clock in Brough and Kilmallock, respectively. I don't know how often we've been saying that this is probably the most competitive competition we have, and the four teams you've left, like the talent is stacked, and all the clubs. We'll probably start Kildare Palace Kinry against Brough on Saturday, 3 o'clock in Kilmallock. It's the 2019 losing finalists versus 2018 losing finalists. They met last year in the semi-finals. Kildare Palace had 11 points to spare. But Brough came into this game with 3 wins and three. Kildare Palace Kinry lost their first game. I don't know how you're going to call this one, Matt.
I don't know either, Jack. It's going to be very, very tight. Anyway, that's one thing for sure. And I know that's nearly a cliche with me now at this stage. But we referenced there a while ago about four clubs dominating the senior semi-finals for the last 4 years. You must remember that there are three of this year's semi-finalists were semi-finalists also last year. So there seems to be a pecking order. The odd one out of my own club, Dunroof, who have made the transition from intermediate up to Premier Intermediate semi-final. The game between Kildare Palace Kinry and Brough has all the ingredients of a fascinating, absolutely fascinating contest. And the statistics you gave there are absolutely correct. the losing finalists of the last 2 years, they met in the semi-final last year. Kildare Palace Kinry were big winners. There's so much to look forward, and there's so much could be said about this game, and there are so many permutations of what might happen on the day. But one thing is sure, Brough have improved considerably, Jack. There is no question at all about that. John Mulqueen has come in. He has rearranged the defence. He has built the defence around the spine of the Finn brothers, who are playing exceptionally well. Brian is the captain at fullback. Sean is having a dream season at centre halfback. Paul Brown is having a new lease of life, and they have new young players up front in Bradley McNamara and Danny O'Leary. Danny O'Leary, very exciting minor prospect, member of the minor Limerick minor team 2 years ago. A very, very exciting prospect, and who's scoring for fun, and who's their free taker. And I suppose it's testimony to what Danny O'Leary brings to the side is that he's keeping a player of the caliber of Shane Bulfin out of the team, and it looks a very strong Brough side that can call on Shane Bulfin if needs be. But they face a very, 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 very good Kildare Palace Kinry side. You just look at what they have, like just look at the spine of the other Finns. You have Keane Hayes at full-back, Barry O'Connell at centre-back. You have the energy and work rate of Peter Nash at midfield. You have Tony McCarthy. And then, of course, you have a certain Kyle Hayes. Match winner supreme on his own, on his day. You have Darren O'Connell, like speed and pace to burn. Like, it all adds up to a fascinating game. Very, very interesting. What will be very, very interesting are the matchups. Will Kyle Hayes play on Sean Finn? Big, big question. Who'll pick up Darren O'Connell? James O'Riordan is a very tight cornerback there for Brough. It's very, very close to call. I have a sense, if you put me on the spot, I'm going for Brough to shade it.
I haven't seen Brough
because
live.
I think I've seen him twice, and I think they have a very even side. Very, very even side. They're playing good hurling. And they have improved considerably from last year. The introduction of the couple of players has been hugely important. Ryan Glynn is actually playing the county footballer, coming in big shifts, and they also have Bobby O'Brien, of course, you know, excellent at halfback. I'm going for Brough just to shade this one.
I'll have to disagree with you on that one. No, I just, after seeing Kildare Palace Skinner the first day against Mungeret, even though they lost, I was so impressed with them, and I thought last year they were as good as Blackrock, if not better, the first day. I thought they should be senior now. I'm not sure how it finally go if they get there, but I would fancy Kildare Palace Skinner, but we'll just have to wait and see. At the same time, again, that game is on Limerick TV, as is the other semi-final, Mungeret St. Paul's versus your own Glenrue. That game is on at Brough at the same time. Mungeret St. Paul's are obviously in a third consecutive semi-final, having fallen the last two times against Glenrue, who won the intermediate last year and have just taken it like ducks to water. And you would have no problem in agreeing with me there, Matt.
I have no problem in agreeing with your last statement, Jack. None whatsoever. But this is a very, very interesting this is a very, very interesting game. Interesting, not just because it's the county premier intermediate semi-final, but there has been a history between these clubs. Like, this is the sixth time since 2010 that these clubs have met. And the most recent was in 2016 when Mungeret won the semi-final. The year they went down and won the intermediate championship. But the record of the record over the five games shows 3 Glenrue, 2 Mungeret St. Paul's. There has never been more than a puck of a ball between them. Now, all right, if you said to Glenrue at the start of the campaign, you'll reach the Premier intermediate semi-final, they take it all day. You know, it would be the ideal consolidation in your first year up. But now that they're there, the dynamic has changed completely, and they can say, "All right, we're now into bonus territory, and we can give it a right lash." And like, they have been impressive. Like it went under the radar a small bit, but actually in the opening round when they beat Drummond at Laca, they laid a bogey. Because in my lifetime, I have only remembered Glenrue beating Drummond at Laca once in the championship. And they had met a number of times, so they were a bogey team. So they laid a bogey in the first round. In the second round, they beat the side that were relegated from senior ranks last year, Knockaney, at a stage when Knockaney, it was make or break for them after they had lost the first round to Brough. And then it was a dead rubber in the third round when they lost to Brough. So it very, very hard to judge that game. But certainly, the point I'm making, Jack, and I'm not being one bit biased or prejudiced in this now when I say it, like I believe that they're there on merit, you know, for the reasons that I said. Now, of course, Mungeret St. Paul's have been knocking at the door, you know, for what, 3 years, as you said. They have a very, very exciting side, but they seem to have a problem in getting over the semi-final hump. And I think this one is you know, all the narratives and all the punditry suggest that it's Mungeret St. Paul's to lose. I don't agree with that at all. I think Mungeret St. Paul's will be favourites, but I'm not discounting a Glenrue upset because, as I said, Glenrue are into bonus territory. They're coming in with a bit of form, a bit of pedigree, and they have a very, very good spattering of very, very experienced players and top-class players to match those of Mungeret. I agree. Mungeret are favourites, but I'm not discounting Glenrue upsetting it.
Yeah, and from an unbiased point, I will agree with you there. That Glenrue are definitely there on merit. They've been brilliant this year, but I can't see past Mungeret in this game. I know they've fallen at that hurdle in the last 2 years. I just feel like this is a year for them, and with someone like Paul O'Brien, if he hits form, there's no player that's going to stop him in that grade. I said after.
Yeah, but the converse to it, his namesake, Maurice O'Brien, who is the general coach, and Danny Murphy. They are meticulous in preparing their team for games like this. And the message will not have been lost on those boys that, you know, you don't give away a freeze. Paul O'Brien will put them over all day. And I know that they will have a strategy for curtailing him in open play.
Yeah, well, we've often seen a strategy fall against players that ilk. But I just said after Kildare and Palace Skinnery and Munger came in round one, I'm not sure if I said it to you anyhow, but I said to a fair share of people, I said, we're after seeing the final there, that we'll see it again in September.
You actually said it to me, but you know, I did say there's a lot of hurling to be played yet.
Yeah. Look, I'm only two games away from that, and that's where I'm sticking with. You're seeing, you've probably seen a different final, but look, we'll see how that one pans out.
I'm not seeing it through South Limerick eyes now, don't get me wrong, you know.
Yeah, but look, there are two games available to watch, obviously at the same time, so you'll have to flick between.
Yeah, look, that is a fantastic service. Like, the way hurling fans, they're actually spoiled for choice this weekend, like, with four games on Limerick GA TV, and a person can see them all for 25 euros. Now I see people complaining, why are they? It's mean to charge for them because they don't charge in Cork. I just don't get it that you can see two county quarterfinals and two Premier Intermediate semi-finals for 6 euros apiece. Like, if we were in normal circumstances, first of all, you probably couldn't see the four of them because two of them were on at the one time. But for 25 euros, the county board have the package there. I just don't get what the complaining is about. I think people should just go away and get a life in that one. Now, in fairness, like, in the circumstances we're in, like, the county board have no gate receipts and they're moving mountains to get as many games as possible out to as many people as possible. I had somebody, Jack, that is housebound, spoke to me during the week about the streaming and about the coverage, and was waxing lyrical about it. The opportunities that he had to see games that he thought he would never again see. Like, you know, we've got to get real on this. The streaming is an absolutely wonderful service, and I'm not saying it because I'm involved in any of the games. I'm saying it looking at it from the outside. You know, everything is being done to get as many games to as many people as possible, diaspora and all, in very, very difficult circumstances, and we should be mindful of it. And 25 euros for two Limerick senior hurling quarterfinals and two Limerick Premier under intermediate hurling semi-finals is for pittance.
It is, and it's a great service, and I think those that have taken it up have been really appreciative, and it's worked well so far, and please God, it'll continue to work, and it'll probably be the way things go in the future, so we just have to get used to it, and you can't blame Limerick GA for charging either to make back money on gate receipts that they've lost, and can't do anything about it. So,
absolutely no. First of all, they have to pay for the streaming in the first place. And then they have to try and get some revenue.
Yeah. It's a good service.
Revenue source has been cut off.
Yeah, we know it's a good service, and fair play to the people that have been so thankful in messages to Limerick GA TV and everything. Like, everyone involved is doing their best, and everyone watching is very appreciative. So long may it last. Obviously,
you see the multiplicity of countries that you get response from. People in all parts of the world, how happy they will be to pay 25 euros to see four games at home.
Yeah.
And the people at home don't want to pay it. You know, I don't get it. I'm afraid I'm missing something.
You'll always have critics, Matt. We'll always have them. But the ones that are grateful make up for it. Obviously, that's not all the Premier Intermediate Hurling action this weekend. You have a relegation final between Drumnach Laca and Pruaree Saturday. It's been a poor year for both sides in reality. One of them will go back down to intermediate. Drumnach Laca obviously only came up 2 years ago. They play a Pruaree side that it'll be very tough to turn over on a relegation final day when everything is on the line.
It's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and from the time that this pairing have emerged, Jack, I can wait for it. Because, like, there are great rivalries. There are great rivalries in this division in the South. There are great rivalries in this county. But trust me, Jack, there is no rivalry like that of Rory and Drummond at Lacca. And, like, this is not the first time that they have found themselves in this situation. Back in 2007 or 2008, they met in the senior hurling relegation final inside in the Gaelic Browns. And Rory won it that day. Now, like, in the group stages of the championship, you're right this year. Drummond Lacca and Rory are in this situation for a reason. The reason is that they weren't able to win a match between them. Drummond Lacca suffered three straight defeats. Excuse me, to let Roe Ruff and Kenny. Rory picked up a point the first day against Cappamore, put up a decent performance against Mungret in the second round. But when it mattered, and this is what worries me about Rory, most un-Rory-like, they capitulated in the third round against Kildimo Palace Kinry. When, who was going to be contesting? Well, it was on the line, like, that they could have saved their skin that day had they got a slightly better result than Cappamore. But their response that day, the challenge they put up to Kildimo Palace Kinry that day was, at best, Jack, fragile. Very, very poor. Now, they're going through a transition. Like, they've won a county senior hurling championship in 2006 with a relatively young team. And a lot of those players had stayed on and were on until, the last 2 years. Some people will say some of them stayed on probably too long. But, like, there is a tendency, you know, hold on to what you have. Them practically all gone now. There are only two survivors, I think, of that team, Kieran O'Rourke and James Vincent O'Brien. But Brendan Hogan, who's the manager out at Brody, and a terrible, dedicated hurling man, he has taken a leap of faith this year in that he has sent out five or six newcomers. And they're mainly up front. Whilst they're bedding, and whilst there is hope for the future, it is now that they want them. You would normally think that the great tradition and the great fighting spirit of Rory would surface in these circumstances. But I'm very doubtful about it this time, Jack. And it gives me no pleasure to say so, that what I saw against Kildimo Palace Kinry, what I described there a minute ago as un-Rory-like, most un-Rory-like, and I have been watching them over the years. Now, Drummond at Lacca, great warriors, and have been a bit of a roller coaster up and down now between the intermediate and the premier intermediate, and but they do have a trump card. Relegation finals, there are tense occasions, and they can be decided on very, very small margins, as you know. If you look back at the relegation finals that we've had here in Limerick Port and hurling and football, the margins have been desperate, desperate tight. And I honestly think that having a player of the caliber of county man David Reedy on board is a huge asset to Drummond at Lacca. That coupled with David Breen, who is scoring goals for fun and has done so in right through the campaign, even though they didn't win any of the games. I'm going for Drummond at Lacca for that reason, to save their skin. I think if your players are, I don't see anybody in Rory that can have the impact that David really can have. Likewise, the impact that David Breen may have, I think, unfortunately, brewery don't have those. But unless brewery recapture the great spirit and tradition, I'm going for Drummond and Clacker just to share it.
Yeah, it will be close regardless of your look, but it could come down to player David Reedy Silk to push his side just over that line. Moving on into the Intermediate Hurling Championship to see who's going to be in Premier Intermediate next year. You have four quarterfinals this weekend. The only one on Saturday is Newcastle West versus Palace Green. Obviously, Newcastle were in the final last year, fell to your Glenrow. Palace Green were actually in Premier Intermediate last year. So it's a tantalising battle that lies ahead between those two teams.
It's absolutely fascinating, tantalising. Now, Palace Green are playing intermediate hurling and intermediate football. They're down into the relegation in intermediate football. I'm just wondering, is all the focus going on hurling this year? Like, they beat Tourna Fulla comfortably enough, and then they lost to Fiohana in their second game, but it was a dead rubber game. They were only playing for first and second. I think Newcastle West will be really up against it in this one. They've come through the group stages. They've won their two games, but I've a hunch that that Palace Green, they're great battlers. And you've the like of Dara Fanning, Brian Fanning, Colin Ryan, big players that can decide games like this. Now, Newcastle West, they were in the final last year. They deserve to be in the final last year. Probably things didn't go their way in that final. In that, they were hit by the Glenrow team who ticked all the boxes on the day. And the expectation was that, if you lose a final, that you'll come back the following year and be in that you'll be the main contenders. But unfortunately, that's not the way that things work out. I think Newcastle West are up against it in this one. And I'm giving a cautious vote to Palace Green.
I'll disagree with you again, Darren. After seeing Newcastle football last week up close and personal, and the turnover they have, just the sheer size of those players, and I've seen them hurl over the years, I just think they'll build on last year and move in semi-finals. But again, only time will tell. Then on Sunday, you have three games starting at 1 o'clock in Carrick and Leash. You have Napiershig versus Hospital Herbertstown. Obviously, Napiershig pushed Glenrow so far last year in the semi-finals. And they look like they're building again. And for a second team to be so competitive, intermediate hurling, in such a tough division as well, it's incredible. But they come up against Hospital Herbertstown, who beat Crane of Ballingarry in their second game to move into the quarterfinals. Obviously, very poor year for football in Hospital Herbertstown. They'll be hoping for a bit of joy in the hurling.
They will. And I'm not so sure they're going to get it on Sunday. This is the second year in a row that these sides have met in the quarterfinal in Carrick and Leash. It was a close contest last year, won by the Napiershig. I've seen both sides in the championship this year. I've seen the Napiershig twice. I'm hugely impressed by him, Jack. I saw him in the first round. Among their stars in the first round were James O'Brien and Kieran Kennedy, who were subsequently promoted to the senior team for the game against the Han. And in their place comes a certain Cathal King and Alan Dempsey. It gives you an idea of the strength of Napiershig. This Napiershig intermediate team in many ways reflects their senior team. They reflect the ethos of the club, the attitude of the club towards hurling. They're playing a beautiful style of hurling that's an absolutely joy to watch. Now, in the group stages, they hammered Kilmallock in the first round. And we'll be talking about Kilmallock in a second. But they were pressed very, very hard by Effin in the second game. Now, they seemed to take control of it and Evan wrestled it back, mainly through Trojan work done at midfield by Nicky Quaid, who was absolutely outstanding. The Quaid brothers really led the challenge up to Napiershik. But Napiershik just seemed to have enough to stay in front. They are a very, very competent side. They put Glenroe to the pin of their collar last year. They're looking to build on that. In my view, they're capable of building on that. I'm expecting them to beat Hospital Helperstown. Hospital Helperstown, I saw them in the game against Croom. Now, Croom were good winners in that game. There was no doubt whatsoever about it. They were deserving winners. And they came back then in the second round, as you rightly said, they beat Granite Ballingarry in Kilfinan. And they did the very same thing last year. They beat Granite Ballingarry in Kilfinan and knocked Granite Ballingarry out of the championship. So in Granite Ballingarry, lightning does strike twice. So, but having said all that, I'm going for Napiershik in this one.
Yeah, it's hard to pass Napiershik. And obviously they run that risk of losing players to the senior team, and they could lose a few more on Saturday even. But I mean, the turnover in players is ridiculous there. Then on a Sunday evening...
I know people are saying that it's ridiculous, and people are even saying it's unfair that they have such players at their disposal. But why have they the players at their disposal? I tell you quite simply, because they work hard at it. They work hard right up through the grades. They work right hard, right down from the very bottom up. You know, and all they're reaping at senior and intermediate level is the rewards of the hard work they've done down through the ranks.
Oh yeah, no, look, I don't doubt the work they're doing. When I say ridiculous, I mean it's mad to think. Like, I don't not mean it in a derogatory way towards them at all. The work you see, and you can see it in their success, is they put in serious work and they reap the rewards of it, in fairness to them.
You know, the constant narrative, you know, about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, Jack, was the appalling state of hurling in Limerick City. And here now we have one of the great clubs of hurling right inside in the centre of Limerick City. So, like, people can't have it both ways, you know. Napiershik have to be admired. Napiershik have to be aspired to. You know, do the things the way Napiershik do it. Like, you know, us covering matches, even the way they present their teams and everything, it's top class, isn't it?
Yes, and look, credit is due. But in saying that, they still have to come through Hospital, who could easily put up to them and get into a semi-final. But look, we'll have to, again, wait and see. At 5 o'clock then in Fianna on Sunday, you have the meeting of Fiona versus Knockaderry. Fiona have been very impressive now down their second year at this grade. They've won both their games, and the Knockaderry team, who pushed Newcastle right close in the first game, only lost by a point. So again, you'd be thinking this one is going to be tight and could go either way.
Yeah, I suppose Fiona were relegated from Premier Intermediate Hurling in 2018. And the expectation was that Fiona would bounce back immediately. They were one of the favourites for the Intermediate Championship last year. It just didn't happen for them. They failed to make the knockout stages. But you're right, they have regrouped. They have found their feet at the lower level. And like, they seem to have the players, they have a hard core of players who are very, very, very experienced and have been around the block. And they have been impressive in this particular championship. You cannot take that from them. And they're going to be very, very hard to beat. Now, they face a Knockaderry team. Probably, first of all, they struggle for consistency from year to year. And they struggle a bit for consistency even within any given year. But you're right, they pushed Newcastle West to the pin of their collar in their opening game. And they're in the quarterfinal, they're there on merit. I think they will put it up to Fiona, but like with Seamus Flanagan, not just on board, but in the form he's in at the moment, you have to go with Fiona.
Yeah, and talking about trump cards earlier, they don't go much better than Seamus Flanagan, especially in that grade.
Certainly not.
It should be a tight game, and look, the team that comes through now will be full of confidence after it's such a battle.
you know, that there's probably dynamics between Flohan and Knockaderry that will drive people on. But it, looking at it as we're looking at it, and looking at it based on the form that we've seen this year, like, you would have to say, like, that with Seamus Flanagan on board, and this is not putting a jinx on him or putting the pressure on him, but, you know, he's in the type of form this year that just, you know, he's in sparkling form, not just with Fiona, but with Limerick.
Yeah, and obviously Fiona will be favourites coming into the game, and it's hard enough to see past them, but look, Knockaderry, the West thing will come into, we'll just have to wait and see. And then rounding off the intermediate quarterfinals on Sunday evening at 6, in Brough is Croom versus Kilmallock. We touched on Croom earlier, that win over Hospital, we thought they were very impressive. Kilmallock obviously fell to Napiercy in their first game back in that grade as Junior A hurling champions, but they responded well against Effin. And again, another side with a sparkling senior team competing intermediate, like, it's great to see for a team like Kilmallock, and again, it just shows the work that's put in there.
Yeah, it is. It just gives a sense of the pool of players that are in Kilmallock. Now, I saw the game with Napiercy, and I left Brough that evening, and I was saying to myself, you know, this has been a bridge. Far, way too far for Kilmallock. But went back there a week later, and it was a different Kilmallock. It was a more real Kilmallock that turned up that evening. And they beat Effin. It might have been a bit of a surprise. Maybe Effin thought that, you know, having been Kilmallock's second team and being having suffered such a heavy defeat the week before, that they were going to be easy to turn over, but it just did not happen. Kilmallock played very, very well on the night. And, you know, Kilmallock are a different animal in the championship, Kilmallock teams. We've seen this particularly at senior level. Sometimes they're off the radar, and suddenly they come back onto it with a bang, but it's rarely you see a Kilmallock team going out without a fight. I was impressed with Croom with what I saw of him. I only just saw him in the one game. Now, they did draw with Annabelle and Gary in the opening round, and they had that convincing win over Hospital Helmerstown in the second round. I fancy Croom to win this one. There's a core of experience there, and when you're talking about experience, you're talking about real experience. When you're talking about the likes of Stephen Lucy and Mark O'Riordan, the evergreens who seem to be going on forever. And they're key players in this side. Make no mistake about it. These boys are not making up numbers. They're holding key positions and playing very, very good hurling, as is an evergreen on the Kilmallock side, Paddy O'Dwyer, who is playing exceptionally well and is leading his team. Odd Party is the captain of the Kilmallock team. It'll be an interesting game. We could have a matchup between Paddy O'Dwyer at centre back for Kilmallock and Stephen Lucy at centre forward for Croom, which would be a nice little subplot in the game. I'm going to see it and I'm looking forward to it. But I think I'm tipping Croom to win this one, Jack.
Yeah, you just have to go Croom after their form last year, and they've kind of continued where they left off. Conversely, then, in the Intermediate Championship, you have two relegation semi-finals. You have Effin versus Granite Ballingarry, and you have St. Patrick's versus Tournafulla, who all finished bottom of their respective groups. Who do you see escaping this weekend, and then obviously moving into that relegation final?
I think I see Effin and St. Pat's escaping.
Yeah, Effin were obviously kind of unlucky when you look at it, like a -4 differential against the Pearce against Kilmallock. Like, if things had gone their way in either one of those games, they could be looking at a quarter final here instead of a semi final. Like, really,
there is an amount of good work going on in Effin, Jack. I know it, I see it. Under the banner of Cushley Gales, like, they won a very, very good county under-21B championship. Now, Patrick O'Donovan, who's a Limerick minor, unfortunately, from an Effin point of view, is ineligible due to age, being underage. But they have a lot of young players that they're filtering through. And of course, they have the Quaid brothers. Like, they're just phenomenal. Nicky Quaid is a phenomenal club holder. He's a phenomenal goalkeeper at inter-county level. He's a phenomenal hurler out the field in the club championship. They have the three Quaid brothers, and you know, a boost that they got this year was the return of Damien Maloney from Vietnam. He came back after a 2-year stint in Vietnam, and prior to that, he had been spent a couple of years with Ballinhassig in Cork. But he was a key player when Effin won the county junior premier and the Munster, or the intermediate and the Munster intermediate championships. He's back. He played part of the game against Kinmallock, played the full game against Napiercy. Huge asset, brings huge experience to the side. Granny Ballingarry, like, they have been dicing with trouble, if you like, haven't they? They have been on a steady decline for the last number of years. I haven't seen them this year, but they lost, as you said, to Hospital Herberston. But then again, like, they drew with Croom. But I have a feeling that Effin, there was such a difference between the Effin team that lost to Kilmallock and the team that played in the Napiercy. It wasn't a difference. It was a transformation, Jack. And they had really stepped on and moved on. And why I'm tipping Effin is that I have a sense, and talking to some of the Effin lads after the game, you know, Joe Connor and his backroom team, I have a sense now that they're prepared to drive on and build on that. And I think they'll get the verdict over Granny Ballingarry.
Yeah, and then obviously you're tipping Pats versus Tournefulla in a meeting of recent Junior A winners.
Yeah, Junior A winners that have found life very, very difficult since they came up. They only got one win last year. They had to depend on the relegation playoff last year, which I suppose you could say would make them battle hardened for relegation fights. They beat Drumcullagh to preserve their status. But the only win they got, I think, was it in round 2 last year. Did they beat Knockderry? If memory serves me correct, that was the only game they won. They won no game this year in the group stages. They're finding it very, very difficult to find their feet at this level. Now, Pats have been around since 2017. Like, they haven't rooted up any trees at Premier level. But, you know, and we spoke earlier about the importance of one key player in a relegation fight, and in the context of David Reedy, there's a certain Garrod Hegarty in the St. Pat's lineup, and I think that's what's going to tilt it in their favour.
Yeah, look, we've talked about plenty of trump cards, and again, Garrod Hegarty is another fantastic option to have for St. Pat's. There's no date on that final yet, but it could be as early as next week, so there'll be no time to reflect on whichever team loses, and forever, whoever wins, look, they won't want to be in a relegation semi-final, but it'll be a job done to stay up for another year.
Well, it'll be a job done, and you're right. The losers may not get that tablet of time to wallow on their woes, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, we have another weekend of Junior A hurling action, but with 24 teams in the competition, we've only 3 rounds done. There's still a lot of hurling to be done in that competition, and there's a full round of fixtures for this weekend. But it's hard to look at that overall, just with that amount of games left to play. But there are a certain amount of teams that have been early front runners in that competition.
There are, and you know, looking at it, I think in a 6 group competition where you have groups of 6, very, very often, and more often than not, actually, the fourth round is the defining round, and we're into this now, and with 2 teams qualifying just for the quarterfinals, and the bottom teams going into relegation, I think a lot of the picture will become clear this weekend. Just looking through the groups, you know, I think a lot of issues will be decided. I would not be surprised if we know possibly five or even six of the quarterfinalists at the end of play this weekend. And at the other end, we may know two or three of who's in the relegation dogfight.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of hurling left, as I said, and we'll definitely be touching upon it next week when we get that clear picture from the fourth round. We also have semi-finals in the Senior Camogie and Intermediate Camogie Championships. In the Senior, we have Champions of Castle against Granite Ballingarry in Newcastle, and Killeedy versus Ahan then in the other semi-final. How do you see them ones playing out?
Yeah, I suppose talk of the latter first, Killeedy. They have been a bit of a revelation in this competition. That they have won their two games. They beat Granite Ballingarry and they beat Napiercik. And they are certainly in very good form. They face Ahan, who were champions in 2018, runners up in 2019. And Ahan side that went to Krakora in the first round. Krakora, who were intermediate champions last year and had a good win in Krakora, no doubt about that, but slipped up on Wednesday night in the final round at home to Newcastle West. And it was 111-109. Conditions were very, very poor, particularly in the second half. The evening turned very, very poor. But I suppose a small bit of a worry for Ahan going into this game now. They have to travel to Raheen on Sunday, and the game is on at 11:30. Is that all their scores the other night came from the stick of Niamh Mulcahy? They were beaten 111-109. I think she got all their 1-9, which is, you know, which is alarming going forward. Like, all it does is it reinforces the idea of what a superb player she is. If there was ever a single-handed match winner, Niamh Mulcahy is that. But going into a game against the Killeedy side at home, who are probably a better balanced side overall, like their form wouldn't suggest otherwise. They have beaten, as I said, they have beaten Granite Ballingarry in Killeedy, and they went into Cardarvan the other night and beat Napiercik. It was tight in the first half, but they drew away comfortably in the second half. I think Killeedy will just probably get over the line in this one.
Yeah, Killeedy's form certainly points to win there, but we spoke again about trump cards, the likes of Hegarty, Kyle Hayes, all them. In Limerick Camogie, there is none like Niamh Mulcahy, and she could single-handedly turn this game for a hand. And like, it wouldn't be at all surprising to see something like that from her.
Not just in Limerick Camogie, but in the game of Camogie, there's no one more single-handed than Niamh Mulcahy to change the course of the game. It will be very, very close. A hand will be looking to get back to that final, like which they lost tantalizingly close to Newcastle West last year. But I have a sense that home advantage, they've got into the winning groove and the winning habit. I'm going slightly, it's only slightly, for Killeedy.
Yeah, and if memory serves me right, Killeedy were beaten by Newcastle in the semi-final last year, so they would be looking to bridge that gap. Obviously, Newcastle play Granite Ballingarry coming in as champions. They are obviously going to be the favourites, but Granite Ballingarry have a great tradition in this competition.
Yeah, Newcastle West, they had a good win over Krakora in the first round, and they went on then and defeated Ahan on Wednesday night. Coming into this competition, you know, the talk was, how would Newcastle West fare without the services of Rebecca DeLee? Like, who's such an influence, not just for Newcastle West, but also for Limerick. And her scoring ability and her free-taking ability. And the answer to that question is all right so far. They've had two wins from two win from two. Katie Hurley has stepped up and is doing the free taking, and they've had two good wins. They're at home now to a Granite Ballingarry side that completed three in a row in 2017. Now was four in a row in 2017, and are slightly on the decline. They're certainly on the force that they were. They lost to Killeady. They beat Napiercik in the first round, but only after a battle. Now, Napiercik went to Ballingarry in the first round and really, really put it up to them. I'm going with Newcastle West to reach the final, Jack, and take another step towards retaining the title.
Yeah, the signs certainly point towards that. And then in the intermediate championship, you have Cattamore versus Croke, Kilfinney, and Temple Clanton versus Bruff to see who would get up to that senior grade. Who are you looking at in these games?
I'm looking at Cattamore, and I'm looking at Cattamore and Bruff probably reaching the final. I'm thinking, and now they'd be coming from the same group. Now they met on Wednesday night. Cattamore won it by 7 points. Bruff, you know, they had previously, both sides had beaten Maroochydore. So it was a dead rubber game on Wednesday night. Now, Cattamore won it convincingly in Cattamore. But it's very, very hard to read into games that are real dead rubbers where there's nothing riding on it other than first and second place. And Temple Clanton, now, Cattamore play Croke Kilfinney. Croke Kilfinney were turned over in the first round rather comprehensively by Temple Clanton. But they had a good win in the second round against Newcastle West. Now, and this is Newcastle West's second team, and credit Newcastle West for putting out a second team at intermediate level. A Newcastle West team during this week really put it up to Temple Clanton. So it's very, very hard to read the forum guidelines there, but I suspect that the Bruff Cattamore group was the tougher of the two groups. And for that reason, I'm going for Cattamore to beat Croke Kilfinney, not simply because they have home advantage, but because I think they have the better forum, and they have the leadership of Will Cramer, the joint Limerick captain. And I'm going for Bruff in the other game. I think Bruff have big name players like this. There's even Tara Ryan, Lorraine McCarthy, Marion Quaid, Eva Butler. You know, very, very good players, county players. I'm reading little into the defeat of Bruff in Cattamore the other night. I think they will regroup and they'll win in Temple Clanton.
Time will tell if those predictions come true. To round off things, I suppose we'll look back on the football, which takes a break now after three eventful weekends. Obviously, the main story to come out of it was Ballysteener True, but there was obviously there was a share of
despite shock. The best effort not to be true.
I wouldn't say that, no, but there was obviously a share of results, surprising results, you might want to say, and obviously not so surprising results. We know the layout of the last days. We know who's in the relegation playoffs. We know one team in relegation final. What were the main storylines that you took from that final weekend of football last weekend?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, the Father Casey's result didn't surprise me. A lot of people are saying it's the standout result. You were there, Jack, against Napiercik, and I certainly was saying after the game that I was impressed with Father Casey's because. It was their first game now, and for a lot of that particular game, they played a typical team out on their first game, but they did a lot of good things during the game, and the young players that they had brought in really impressed me, and the players that are just out of minor and, you know, those in the early 20s, they also impressed me. And then you had the experience of the like of David Ward and Owen Joy, And I did feel, and I think I said it in commentary that night, it speaks volumes for where Father Casey's have gone, if they could have afforded to let him play on the caliber of John Reardon on the bench. Now, they rectified that in that they brought John Reardon in for the second round, because I would rate John Reardon very, very high. I would rate him a very, very key player. And I wasn't surprised at all. I tipped it there just to get there. But I did say last week that there's something about Father Casey's that I liked, unlike Father Casey's teams of the past. And I'm just wondering, of the recent past, I should say, I'm just wondering, are Father Casey's going to be the Ula of 2020? You know, come from nowhere. There wasn't much expectation for him at the start of the year because people said, look, it's going to be the old Father Casey's that promise so much, deliver so little, but they have two wins under their belt now. Jack, that is momentum. Barry Steele are going to find it very, very difficult to stop him making it three in a row, and suddenly they're in the semi-final. That's, you know, but looking at the semi-final and the quarter-finals, there is one, and this is no disrespect to the other six teams, but there's one standout quarterfinal, and that's the meeting of Newcastle West and Adair in a repeat of last year's semi-final. Like, it's just fascinating and phenomenal that these two teams, remember the semi-final last year, where Newcastle West hit the ground running and they really weren't able to claw their way back and maintain their momentum to complete three in a row. So, like, there's a lot of unfinished business in this. Newcastle West will have to prove themselves again against Adair. Like, you remember in 2017, they met in the county final, and in dramatic circumstances, that late Jack English goal. Like, so there is a history between these sides. Now, Adair will want to write the record after losing to Father Casey's. So that is going to be a fascinating quarterfinal. The other two quarterfinals are Mona Lane, like who've had a good season so far, two wins, and against Ballylanders, who came unstuck last week against Ula. Again, I was impressed with Ula. If you needed any confirmation as to why they were county finalists last year, I think in the campaign so far, despite having a huge turnover of players from last year, we got our hands on the first two rounds and the wins over Gaelic Gaels and Ballylanders. There's young players really stepping up to the plate out in Ula, like the Jack Downey, the O'Grady brothers. You know, the Burks are in top form, the three Burke brothers, Owen Fitzgibbon, in inspiration. They're going to be contenders. That's going to be a fascinating four quarterfinals, Jack. Ballylanders and Monaghan and Galway and Ula, Ballysteele, Father Casey's and Adair and Newcastle West. We have an awful lot to look forward to. That will be a fascinating weekend.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a great weekend of football. I'd like to reiterate your point there in Ula. The work Kim Downey doing there is obviously excellent, because they're missing a share of players that got into the county final. And they look like they haven't missed a beat. Look as good, if not, they haven't probably got the challenge that they got last year, but they will definitely get it in a quarter final. And on that, or do you want to step in there?
They will get it in the quarter final, Jack. But this in many ways reflects what happened last year. They got a bit of momentum in the early rounds with wins over Galway and Drumclog, for the people were saying, oh, well, you know, they're probably windows anyway. But the challenge for Ula last year was after the 3-month break to see if they could pick it up. They gave an emphatic answer.
Yeah. Look, yeah, Ula are definitely on that side of the draw. Mona Lane are kind of coming into it. Obviously, Ballylanders and Galway have picked up wins. So everyone that side of the draw has won and shown what they're capable of. Obviously, Ballysteele on the other side haven't won yet. But look, we beat Casey's in 18. We lost last year by a point. So you'll be expecting a tight game again. But definitely the standout fixture, as you said, is Adair. Newcastle, I saw that game last year, semi-final, and I've never seen a game like that in Limerick football. Just the intensity, the skill in Newcastle, just even on the sideline, the noise levels was incredible in Rakhil, and I just can't wait for that fixture already.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also agree with you that there's a big game in Ballysteed.
Yeah.
You'll be here, and certainly, like, for 40 minutes, Jack, in the opening round against Drum Broadford, Ballysteed kicked an awful lot of boxes, but it suddenly went off the rails for the rest of that game and continued into the second game. But Seamus O'Donnell has the material at his disposal to have a big pickup in Ballysteed and to challenge Father Casey's. But Father Casey's are on such a high now, and I know we're not into the business of predicting the quarterfinals just yet, and it won't be easy when we come to doing that. But there is, you're right, there is a big game in Ballysteed. Let's put it this way. There is a much better performance in Ballysteed than we have seen in the two to date.
Yeah, and look, Ballysteed will come into any game backing themselves, and a 60-minute performance will be good enough if they can get it. But again, we'll have to wait and see. This weekend, Hurling and Camogie takes precedence. We've gone through all the games. There's so many exciting games to look forward to. Obviously, people can't go to them, but we have that service, as we said, for €25. See four excellent games. And please, God, we'll be back next weekend to review good, close, exciting games, Matt. Please, God.
Hopefully, Jack. Hopefully. And I just hope that as many people as possible will join in, for which it is a great service. You know, where would you get it? Probably for the price of 4 points. You can have four games sitting down at your own comfort in your own home. You have no cost of getting to a game. You don't have no admission chances. You don't have anything. It's extremely good value.
And we'll leave you with that.
I can't emphasize it enough. I saw people complaining in social media in the last 2 or 3 days since it was announced, and I'm really irked by it. To be quite honest, I just don't get it. You know, €25 for four top-class hurling games. Where would you get it?
Exactly. And we'll leave you with that note.
What would you pay for it if they were on Sky?
I couldn't get into them figures now. They'd be well above my pay grade. But we'll encourage you to watch them, and we'll be back next week to go through all the games. Thanks again, Matt.
You're welcome, Jack.